You need the right kind of leaders, both in character and both in competence.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the biblical principles at stake in the upcoming election.
God says in 1 Samuel, if you exclude me from government, I will leave you alone and let you handle this hot mess you've created without me. And it doesn't take a genius to see what has happened in our world.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. America offers its people the right to be free. But today, Dr. Evans explains, when it comes to understanding what freedom really is, many of us have gotten our rights all wrong. Let's join him.
A kingdom voter is a Christian who takes the opportunity and receives and welcomes the responsibility to promote the rule of God in history through civil government. They are, at their core, kingdom independents. They do not ultimately belong to any political party. They belong to the kingdom of God. No matter for whom they vote, or for what policies they vote, they ultimately are dedicated to advancing God's name, God's person, and God's policies in history. And that is taken into consideration as they go to the voting booth. Every Christian is to be a kingdom voter and a kingdom independent. Anything else is a betrayal of your ultimate commitment. God promises to bless the nation who prioritizes God's relationship to it. Now, at the core of the definition of civil government, which is what you vote for, is understanding God's definition, the biblical definition for civil government, is to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. That's the one thing you vote for. Yes, there are a lot of subtext underneath that, but the umbrella over all of it is you're voting for one thing because you're voting for God. And God's definition of civil government is to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. At the heart of the American idea and the American experiment is the issue of freedom. The Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor introduces herself with this clarion cry, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses who are longing to breathe free." At her base is a broken chain, because this would be, in principle, the place where you could find freedom. Well, if God's definition of civil government is for the flourishing of freedom by providing an environment of safety and justice and compassion, then how exactly does that work? In other words, you and I don't get to define freedom since you and I didn't create it. Yet we want to benefit from it. So I want you to roll back with me to the first use of freedom, which is not the American Constitution. It's the Word of God. Because remember, government is subject to God. So we ought to find out what God says about freedom so that you know when you vote whether you're really voting for freedom or another form of bondage, because God has defined it. The first use of the concept of freedom is found in the book of Genesis. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, these words. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From every tree of the garden you may freely eat.'" Did you hear that? "From every tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." The principle of freedom was tied to human creation. When God created the first man who would be the preamble for the human race, he brought in the issue of freedom. Now, in hermeneutics, which is a big word that describes the science and art of biblical interpretation, is a principle. It's called the law of first mention. It means if you want to understand a concept from God that he has incorporated into the Bible, look at where he gives the concept first, the law of first mention. Find out what he meant then to determine what you should be believing now, unless he gives you a reason to change what he said. And if he doesn't give you a reason to change what he said, you got to go with what he said by the law of first mention, because he didn't give you permission to say something else. But we live in a world today as folk who want to say something else when God has already said what he meant, and he didn't give us a basis for changing what he said when he meant what he said when he said it. Please notice that in his first definition of freedom, the scope of freedom, every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now, God is the government. There's no human government that's been set up yet. We'll get into that. But he is the model for what human government was supposed to be. And notice how maximum the freedom option was. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Notice the breadth of freedom. You have choice. I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose from my good provision, because everything God had made by that time was good. So the question is, what do we mean by freedom? Freedom is the unimpeded opportunity and responsibility to choose to righteously and justly and legally pursue one's divinely created reason for being. It is where you get to choose what God has provided for you to maximize as part of his created order. He says, every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And this would be a principle that would operate throughout scripture. Leviticus 25:10, when the folks got out of line and out of order, God says, proclaim liberty throughout the land and get back to freedom. This is why when you see governments that are oppressive, that reduce freedom, that limit illegitimately freedom, they have to get rid of God or dumb down religion or control the church. Why? Because they don't want God's view of freedom, because it means that they are not in ultimate control. God is. God says, from every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. That's why God gives you a choice, but he gives you the choice from the good things he has provided. That's why freedom is so magnificent, because there's an apple tree, there's an orange tree, there's a grape vineyard, there's pears, there's all of these good things. And I feel like pears today, I feel like apples tomorrow, I feel like oranges the next day. And because they're all good, and because I'm free, I get to choose. It is being released from anything or anybody holding you illegitimately hostage from what God has authorized for you to enjoy and benefit from what he has provided. I want you to notice something else about freedom. Freedom involved responsibility. It says God put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. I'm going to give you freedom, but you have to be responsible to manage it, to maintain it, and to expand its productivity. Yes, freedom involves the responsibility to maximize the opportunity that God has provided you. And isn't that what we say, to pursue happiness, that is to pursue? Because everybody may not pursue the benefits of freedom. Everybody may not pursue it equally, and everybody may not pursue it righteously. But he says to Adam, which would be the preamble for government based on his government in the garden, that if you will act responsibly related to the good things that I have provided, you will have the opportunity to take it, use it, expand it, benefit from it, and enjoy it, because that fruit was sweet to the taste. Freedom is to be utilized and it is to be enjoyed. It is to be benefited from, and because it's a garden, it is to be beneficial to others. So God allows you and me, in the name of freedom, to maximize our potential. And since this government would be the preamble for all governments are designed to allow you and me to maximize our freedom, which is why they get rid of God when they want you to be held hostage to government.
When Dr. Evans comes back in a moment, he'll explain why you can't maximize freedom without restrictions. Stay with us.
Your first question is not who you're going to vote for. The first question is, who does God want me to vote for?
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the importance of making our ballots reflect our beliefs.
If we're going to experience help and healing in our country, then your vote has to vote for God's way.
Just in time for the election, Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Politics, will help you cut through the campaign double talk and focus on the issues that really matter.
I am giving you a framework through which you look at the person and the policies as you cast your vote as a kingdom independent.
Kingdom Politics will also teach you how to defend your position with compassion and grace and keep political differences from dividing your church or your family. Don't let the campaign promises, the media hype, or even your own tradition dictate what you do with your ballot. Visit TonyEvans.org today and get your copy of Kingdom Politics. That's TonyEvans.org.
As we get ready for the upcoming election, it's important to start thinking through our values and priorities today. And this brand new book by Dr. Evans is the perfect tool to help us do that from a biblical perspective. That's why we'd like to send you a copy of Kingdom Politics as our way of saying thanks when you make a donation toward the Ministry of the Alternative. Your faithful support month after month is what makes this program possible, and providing life-giving resources is one way we can show our appreciation. In fact, if we hear from you right away, we'll also include all 10 full-length messages on CD or digital download from Tony's current teaching series, Returning God to Government. So contact us right away to take advantage of this double offer before time runs out. You can do that instantly at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information later on in case you missed it. But right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message.
Did you know freedom has restrictions? Without restrictions, the word freedom loses its meaning. From every tree of the garden, maximum freedom, you may freely eat. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, you are not to eat it or it will kill you. He creates a restriction in the midst of the opportunity for freedom. He says, even though I'm going to give you freedom, I'm going to give you a boundary. Pay attention here. Maximizing your freedom demands legitimate boundaries. The boundaries are not designed to restrict freedom. It is designed to enhance freedom if it's a legitimate boundary. Okay, a football player can't run up into the stands, the running back, into the concession area, out to the parking lot, come in the other side of the stadium, go to the end zone and say, I scored a touchdown. That's not football, that's chaos. You're only free to play football if you operate within the lines. Tennis has a baseline. You can't hit the ball in the stands and claim your point, because in order to enjoy the freedom of tennis, you must operate with the restriction of the lines. Baseball has a foul line. You can't do a pop-up in back of you and then run the bases, because the foul line, the foul ball, is designed to show you, you can't have baseball without a boundary. What did he tell Adam? He said, Adam, from every tree, I'm going to give you maximum freedom, but I'm going to give you limited regulations. I'm only going to tell you, don't do one thing. Don't mess with the Google tree. That's right, I called it the Google tree. Why? Because it was an information center. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong, of up and down. Adam, I'm your government. I'm going to tell you how to run your existence. And I'm going to give you maximum freedom. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of rules. Give you one. You are not to live your life by human reason, knowledge. You're to live your life by divine revelation. In other words, you are to get your instruction from me, not come up with it on your own apart from me. But because freedom offers always a choice, you can choose to do it my way, or you can choose to do it your way. But I just want you to know, it's not in your best interest to experience freedom if you're going to choose it your way rather than my way. It's not going to be good for you, because I want you to be free. When God created government, he created government with the idea of limited regulations. You see it here in the garden. Let me give you another illustration. When he created the first nation he ever created was Israel. That's why Israel is a big deal in scripture. That's why God says, I'm going to bless the nation that blesses Israel, and I'm going to curse the nation that curses Israel, because I am setting up in Israel a format for how society is supposed to run and how civil government is supposed to function. Now, most of us, when we think in terms of Israel, the nation, and its government, think about the Ten Commandments, and we should. Limited regulations, I mean, 10 things, and if you run by these 10 things, you'll have a free society. But he introduces the Ten Commandments with a statement. And if you start with the Ten Commandments but miss the statement, you'll miss what government's supposed to do. He says, I am the Lord God who delivered you from slavery. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. I am the Lord God, and I delivered you from slavery. Guess what? I gave you your freedom. And because I gave you your freedom, I'm going to give you the boundaries in which to operate that freedom. There are going to be 10 amendments to the Constitution, 613 statutes and ordinances to kind of show you how to apply my 10 rules. And if you do what these 10 rules apply this way, you will live in a free society. You will live with the freedom for why I created government and why I created civilization and why I created nations. But the moment you create your own rules, throw up regulations that are inconsistent with mine, you're going to have a problem, because you will not be running the nation or your life, or your family, or your church for that matter. But since we're talking about civil government, you will not be running the civil government like I created it to run, and you are going to create chaos so that maximum freedom is not enjoyed, and you will turn limited regulation, because see, when you have anarchy, then you got to come up with more rules to control the anarchy. He says, no, if you will abide by my regulations, then you will experience the freedom as a nation I have given you to experience. Now, when you have time, I want you to read 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I want you to read verses 10 through 19. I want you to read all those verses and take your time, because this section of scripture will blow your mind. I'll just summarize it for you right now. God said this. He says, if you exclude me from your government, if you exclude me from your rulers, now you can say, in God we trust, all you want. You can put the Ten Commandments on the, you know, in the courthouse, all you want. But if you depart from my definition of civil government to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment so that freedom can flourish, and you decide to come up with your own rules to run your nation, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And here's what he says in 1 Samuel 8, beginning with verse 10. You will see the word take, 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 take. He says, if you build a civil government without me setting the rules, the government will take your family, he says. The government will put you in wars that you shouldn't go in. The government will require taxes that you shouldn't be obligated to pay. He says the government will control your children. And he says, and then you will be in a hot mess. And then he explains why. Because you've turned your government into God. Okay, I said it because God said it. He says, once you turn your government into God and stop looking to God and start looking to government, the government will take things I never meant for the government to have, because when I govern, it's limited regulations, it's maximum freedom. And he says, then you will let government take care of you. This is where, whether you're Democrat or Republican, whether you're right or left, you can either have too many rules or you can have the wrong rules. Because if you have the wrong rules, it doesn't matter that you have a few rules, because they're not the rules you ought to have. God says that I want to set the boundary, and if you don't let me set the boundary, you will replace me with another God, and you will make government that God, because it will infringe on my other governments. Remember, in God's kingdom, civil government is not the only government. There's self-government. There is family government. There is ecclesiastical government, and then there is civil government. And the one is not to illegitimately impose itself on the other. And it is an understanding, the kingdom, that civil government gets to be what it's designed to be. Now, I know that we live in a secular world with secular thinking. That's why you need the right kind of leaders, both in character and both in competence, that are biblically oriented so that they can seek to influence the biblical definition of government so that God can be involved in government and not excluded from government, because God says in 1 Samuel, if you exclude me from government, I will stay excluded and I will leave you alone and let you handle this hot mess you've created without me. And it doesn't take a genius to see what has happened in our world. So, God created boundaries in order to maximize freedom.
Dr. Tony Evans, explaining today why unrestricted freedom isn't really freedom at all. It's part of his current series, Returning God to Government, a 10-lesson look at how the Lord's kingdom agenda ought to shape the decisions we make on Election Day. Remember, this powerful sermon package is part of our current double resource offer that includes the book I told you about earlier, Kingdom Politics. Contact us right away, and both are yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help us continue making Tony's teaching available on this station. All the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org, where you can browse through our huge collection of resources, sign up for Tony's free email devotional, and download his Sermons on the Go app. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by 24/7 to help you. I'll be back with a look at what's coming up tomorrow, right after this.
The only reason you are what you are and you have what you have is the goodness and grace of God. So walk humbly with your God.
That's right. You can't do the talk unless you do the walk. Join Dr. Tony Evans's Kindness in the Culture campaign to be the change for good our culture needs right now. It goes like this. Request your bundle of kindness cards. Then make a commitment to do one act of kindness each week for another person. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
We celebrate independence in this country. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why the kind of independence people tend to declare these days can destroy us. It's a sobering look at God's message to America, so be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.